forever forget about the electricity.
Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Good afternoon, Denver, and welcome in to another edition of The Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network. I am your host, KJ, joined today with Matt and
Ryan,
appreciate it, bro. I'm terrible with names. I'm absolutely terrible with names, so don't hold that against me. But yes, this is another edition of The Press Box, and we have so much to get into. So much. I mean, it was so much I actually left some off of the list because, you know, I gotta stick with what's important, which is the homegrown right now. And we're going to go ahead and start off with the Broncos. I mean, the most obvious situation with the Broncos right now has to be the fact that they are dealing with a lot of injuries. You know, your starting quarterback, Drew Lock, he is currently out. And then you are dealing with Philip Lindsay, your starting running back. Cortland Sutton's out for the year with the torn ACL. Von Miller's out with a torn Achilles. A.J. Bouye, he's out with a shoulder injury. You just lost Jarrell Casey to a torn pectoral muscle. You have Wilkinson, he's out with a with shin splints, basically is what you would call it. And there's a multitude of other injuries that are taking place on this team, but those are pretty much the main injuries. And to be honest, between Von Miller, A.J. Bouye, and Jarrell Casey, there is north of $50 million sitting on IR. And the Broncos are trying to figure out exactly what direction they want to go in with all of those injuries, because those injuries, not only are they, you know, hurting you because they're not coming off of the books, but just now it's just like, what's going on, you know? So I wish I had the answers. This is one of those freak situations where, you know, you just hope that they can get it back on track soon. So I'm going to send it out to the guys. And, you know, what do you guys think about what's going on with these injuries right now? Because this is unlike anything we've ever seen before in probably the history of football.
Yeah, I feel that. What's up, KJ? How you been today, man?
Man, I'm good, man. It's just been rolling until we get everything fixed in there. So
I feel that.
Yeah, thanks for keeping that rolling. That was all good stuff from you right there. Unfortunately, not so much good stuff just because, you know, we're talking about injuries here.
Yeah,
that is tough. I'm not sure. We as a Broncos, you know, country here, we've seen this many injuries to a squad that has the potential they do. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure on all the back years before I was born and such, yeah. But I don't know. I can't think of another season with this many injuries to your starters. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. like some backups and stuff. It's your starting squad going down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The last team I seen that was probably close to being this injury riddled as far as the Broncos are concerned would be the 1969 team, which was before all of us were born.
Yeah.
So we can't even discuss what happened then, so, which is why it makes this experience that much more mind-boggling, to be honest.
Well, I want to know from you guys, do you think that this is correlated with kind of this hurry up and start situation that football went through where the players weren't really primed, you know, and now we're seeing all these awesome players, you know, football, the average lifespan of an NFLer, I think is what, like 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And this year, you know, if you're going to rush them back and say they, you know, you're torn pec, you're out for all year. Hey, you know, I debate even starting a football season for situations like this because, this is tough on the players and they have to make a living, you know, looking at them as human beings, they have to make a living and things like this happen. It makes it hard to keep a job.
Yeah, I think you just really needed to, you know, put more emphasis on, okay, if you guys really think we should take away these preseason games and take away the pre-practices that they have.
Like training camps.
Yep. They took away training camp. If you, you know, say we're going to take this stuff away because we're worried about, you know, COVID and all this stuff, which totally makes sense. Don't get me wrong here. You need to make up that time that mm-hmm. they're missing and make sure all of these players are going through the exact steps that they need to get healthy for an NFL season, because that's probably the most important part of the entire season is preparing for your season as an NFL player. I'm just guessing here. That seems like that's a lot of work they got to do to make sure they're game ready without actually playing any games, right?
Right.
Like that's something I'm not sure is even possible, honestly. So, yeah. I mean, you saw it throughout all the league. It's not even just the Broncos. You have Christian McCaffrey go down. You have Saquon Barkley. Those are the two biggest names at the running back position, I'd say, right?
Not to mention Nick Bosa as well. So
Yeah. I mean, the whole 49ers have their own problems with injuries. Garoppolo's out. Raheem Mostert's out. Like, this is hitting more than just the Broncos, don't get me wrong, but it's something I think the NFL could have fixed before it even happened.
Or now, at least had a better plan
in
place.
Yeah,
for sure. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because the injuries also come around full circle, because the team that the Broncos are about to play coming up this week on Thursday is also dealing with injuries as mm-hmm. well. And we had a chance to – well, not us, but the media here in Denver had a chance to talk to – Brett Rippon about just staying ready and staying prepared. So here's Brett Rippon.
And I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, I was surprised. I was, you know, I've been preparing like I'm, you know, ready to go at any time. And so, you know, whenever you have your number called, you got to be ready to go. The drive went pretty well. You know, obviously wanted to finish it there. Better there on 4th and 1. You know, I tried to look that safety off and he didn't really move. And then I thought I could send him there to Jerry. And obviously he made a pretty good play on it. So, I mean, it was good to get in there, though.
All right. Credit altitude for that sound. You know, the beauty of staying ready is Vic Fangio came out today and officially announced that he will be starting Thursday at the New York Jets. And that's a great thing for Rippon, man. I mean, I really think Rippon should have had his chance last year, but I understand circumstances didn't allow that. They really wanted to go with more veteran-centric guys last year. But, man, Brett Rippon, man, coming from Boise State, he killed it at Boise State. And I just wanted him to get an opportunity to see what it is we have in Brett – well, not we, I'm sorry, the Broncos have in Brett Rippon. So,
hey, I had a question for you guys that I've been chomping at the bit to ask you guys since I thought of it. So do you think that the product is being tainted or kind of watered down with all these injuries and the NFL saying, hey, hurry up and play football, and then this is what they're getting? You know, Christian McCaffrey's, the stars of their league, are going down to where if you hop on Twitter, you'll see how many Broncos fans saying, hey, I'll tune in next year. You know, I'm already done with the season 3 weeks in. That's happening all across the league. Even the Minnesota Vikings fans that I know, they're saying that same thing. This year's over. So is the product, is it being tainted, or is this going to be giving opportunities for other players that we haven't seen before?
If we're discussing it from a viewership perspective, this has been an ongoing problem for years. I don't think this one scenario has brought this to a halt. Now, what I will say is this injury-riddled season has heightened the importance of fantasy football, probably more so now than ever. And I think that's really what only keeps the viewership, because there's really nothing else. I mean, either your team is really good or your team is really bad. And through the first 3 to 4 games, we pretty much figured out who's good and who's bad. So,
I think the problem with that, though, is there's way too many just NFL fans. And it's not like – and I'll be honest, I'm one of them. I'm a Broncos fan, but I'm an NFL fan. Even if the Broncos are terrible, I'm watching 4 or 5 games on Sunday. I'm watching the first one, the second one.
Dude, I got all kind of screens that Sunday night, right? Around, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unfortunately, I don't have Red Zone or anything, so I can't get all of the games, whichever one I want. But I'm watching the ones that are available to me, you know? Like, I think there's way too many of those fans, really, that, you know, aren't speaking out, because why are you going to tell the NFL, no, I'm still watching over here? Like, right. No, you're just going to watch, right? So I think you're hearing a lot of the fans that aren't going to watch because they're mad at their team, or aren't going to watch because of whatever reason, because they're trying to tell the NFL they aren't going to watch, where, you know, mm-hmm. I think the majority of the stuff is really not as big as we all think it is. You know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, you know, we're all sitting here. They're, you know, the world outside is a crazy place right now. It's nice to sit here and talk sports, but yeah, you're 100% right.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I will say through all of this craziness, you know, not just the pandemic, but I'm talking about the craziness right here dealing with the Denver Broncos. Do you bring back your potential franchise quarterback into this? Because it's going to get worse before it gets better. And that's a serious question that Bronco fans have to ask themselves. Do you sacrifice Drew Lock because you want to see a winning effort, or do you live to see another day?
I think they already answered that question in last year's draft when they took Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler in the first two rounds instead of an offensive lineman. I don't think they care. I think they think we can win for whatever reason. We can win without an offensive line. I genuinely don't understand it, but I don't know what else it's got to be. You don't go out and sign anybody. You have, I'm drawing a blank, the Washington football team guy.
Outside of Glasgow, of course.
Well, okay. I see they're making some sort of moves, right-ish. But every single time they do, it's some sort of injury risk, which is exactly what you're trying to get away from in the first place. So that makes no sense to me. And even if you are going to an injury risk, at least make it a star, you know, a just without a doubt, even with injury risk, this guy's going to be on the field playing, starting. He's not going to lose that starting job unless he's injured. And that's where I think you could start to get into that injury risk. But that's all they do is, I mean, you had, and now I'm drawing the blank on his name too, you had Glasnow and their other offensive lineman. That,
Reisner?
No. Everybody dislikes this guy.
Bulls?
Wilkinson? No. Man, I'm blanking on his name.
Talking about the right tackle?
Juwan James.
Yes, Juwan James. Thank you.
That's what I thought he was talking about.
Juwan James. I mean, it's free agent grabs like that just don't make sense to me for this Broncos team.
Yeah, I just saw on the news report that Shelby Harris has been kind of dealing with some stuff too. I know kind of at the top of the show we were talking about all these main guys getting injured. I mean,
yeah,
how do you feel the
one.
Product that's even going to get a win with all these injuries? And, you know, I just think that, yeah.
Okay, before we go to break real quick, is this our last chance to get a win? Is this the Broncos' last chance
no, they'll have, to get they'll a win? Have, they'll pick up something later.
No, you know how the Broncos do. They always come on strong towards the end.
I'm
going to
be honest. I think this is it. I think if they don't beat the Jets, 0-16. I'm not
right, hey, come. You secured number one pick with that record.
That's great.
On the other side, you know, it looks like the Nuggets season may be over for 2019-2020, but guess what? The window's just opening, and we'll discuss what exactly that means. What do they need to add? What do they need to take away on the other side of the break? This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
Hey man, what's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah, I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere, and I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah, because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today, so find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever.
A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, you know, had tremendous expectations, as did I think Doc Rivers and many around the NBA who considered the Clippers a championship favorite. And the way that they went out this year, losing in the conference semifinals, blowing a 3-1 lead to Denver, ultimately changes are going to come to this Clippers organization. They started with Doc Rivers today, and this is a difficult search for the Clippers. This is a championship or bust organization right now, and I think the next coach isn't so clear as to who that might be. There's certainly some candidates, but Doc Rivers ultimately paid the price for a team that talent-wise was among the very elite in the league, but clearly underachieved on the court and in the bubble.
Credit ESPN.com for that sound. Before we get into that, Ryan, you have a score update on baseball.
Yeah, let's get into this real quick. So the Houston Astros and Minnesota Twins game just went final. Houston ended up beating the Twins 4-1. The Chicago White Sox and Oakland Athletics game went final as well, also 4-1. Looks like Lucas Giolito pitched an absolute gem of a game there. And then we are in the bottom of the fourth inning with Toronto and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is up 1-0 as we speak. I think Joey Wendell's batting right now, which is always a fun at bat. But that's kind of the update for baseball. We got the Yankees and Indians on later tonight on ESPN.
Well, there you go. That is your official update for baseball. And stick around. We will get into more baseball discussion coming up on the other side of the break. But before we go there, let's take a minute and dive into the fact that Doc Rivers was actually fired by the Clippers. You know, it was kind of one of those things where it's like you didn't really see it coming, but when you think about it, you're not really surprised too. You know, I won't get into whether or not, you know, it was planned all along. If they lost pre-Western Conference Finals, but I will ask this question: how much did the Nuggets play into Doc Rivers actually getting fired?
Honestly, I'll just go first. I think, in my opinion, a huge amount, because why you just go out and you get Paul George, you get Kawhi Leonard, and then you have a championship winning coach in Doc Rivers, and after 1 year you're just going to get rid of him? No, like something had to have changed in that series where maybe he didn't like how he was coaching against Mike Malone, speaking of Ballmer or whatnot. But I think the Nuggets had a pretty big hand in it, because I don't think the plan was to have Doc Rivers only coach for 1 year with these great guys, right? I don't know.
I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
But I'm going to disagree in a different way. I think it was completely the Nuggets. 100% them losing to the Denver Nuggets. I think that Ballmer thought his team that he constructed, paid bajillion dollars for, right, was better, a better roster than this team, and Doc Rivers did not allow them to take the steps to beat the Nuggets. I think that that's what he really thought, because and maybe this is a little bit of, I was kind of happy to hear this as a Nuggets fan after game 6, before game 7, when they had a team dinner planned after game 6, and a reporter asked if they were going to cancel that team dinner if they lost the game. And he said, basically, you know, if we win the game, clearly we won't need to cancel the team dinner. And if we lose the game, I don't think we're going to cancel it either because we'll need a team dinner to kind of regroup and reassess. And that made no sense to me whatsoever. You're up 3-1 and you lose two straight games, force a game, and they force a game seven against you. And you're going to have a dinner? You're going to let your team go eat some five-star meal? I mean, granted, they're in the bubble, so who knows where they really could have gone. But you're going to let your – like, I would be livid. I'd be screaming in their faces for, like, 2 hours and then say, I don't want to see you again until, you know, 2 hours or whenever we're meeting next before we play, right? I would be screaming into them. I wouldn't – I'd be going to all the fancy restaurants as the coach to make sure they're not sitting in there – getting this nice meal. They need to wallow in what they just lost for 2 days and figure out how to beat this
sit
team.
Sit in your own filth.
Really. Because I think that was a poor, poor coaching job. They just needed a fire under their butt. You know what I'm saying? They needed somebody to get them going, to start the fight. They just seemed game five, six, and seven to be lackadaisical. Maybe that's the word for it. I don't know. It was a weird end of the series to me.
And I think part of Doc Rivers' teams that I remember when he won with the Boston Celtics in 2008, you know, that team had an aura around them. They were the Boston Celtics with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. They had an aura, and I don't think Doc Rivers really conjured that with this team this year. I think expectations were that he was going to conjure that, and he was going to, you know, have that fire in the player's belly, so to speak, and be able to motivate them. But I think when they were largely listless in this series against the Nuggets, I really think Ballmer was like, hey, I have to make a decision, because he had his opportunity here.
Yeah, and Adrian Wojnarowski said it, you know, in the soundbite, that, you know, they had a lot of stock riding on this season, and for them to not just go out in the second round, but to go out the way that they did, I think the writing was pretty much on the wall. So I agree with both of you all takes. Now, let's transition over to the Nuggets. And before we get into our ideas of what the Nuggets are, let's talk to Coach Mike Malone and see what does he think about the Nuggets and basically where are they going and how far they've come thus far.
What encourages me most is how young we are. You know, what encourages me most is the fact that we have drafted and built this team from an organic method. We have young players that have grown up and continue to amaze. When you can stare at defeat and elimination six straight games and find a way to advance, the only team in history to ever do that.
Credit Altitude Sports Radio for that sound. Mike Malone, man, he believes in his team way more than outside of, like, Colorado, the rest of the 49 states and everything else that everyone else who watches NBA across the world. It's just nobody believed in the Nuggets, and credit to Mike Malone for just continuing to believe and continuing to not let fear or doubt come into the locker room. Now,
well, let me ask you this question real quick. Does he have any other choice?
Does he have a – well – you know what?
I was going to say, as you're looking that up, so one thing that I really wanted to give props to Mike Malone on is throughout all of this, one thing that was an underrated aspect of the bubble so far is that the coaches have not been able to have their families within the bubble, yet all the players have.
Which is insane.
It's absolutely asynine, if you ask me.
Makes no sense.
But nonetheless, this man still stayed positive. He was the purveyor of positivity all throughout all 75 days that they were in the bubble, well not seeing his family, while also supporting social injustice and also speaking about how, you know, the NBA should allow his family there. And, oh, by the way, coaching just an absolute gem of a coach job in the playoffs. I think, you know, props to Mike Malone.
Yeah, no question. Here's a coach who can answer your question better than I can, Matt.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Okay, hold on.
Jim Mora, baby.
There's a difference there, though. There's an absolute difference.
Playoffs.
I get what you're coming
from. One of the all-time sound bits. Thank you for injecting that into our lives.
Oh, dude,
today.
Man. Hey, it was my pleasure. On a scale of, like, on a grading scale of A to F, like, what grade do we give the Nuggets this season? And we can add plus and minuses on our grades as well, if that helps you out.
I'll go first. I after looking at the season, I'm a Minnesota Timberwolves guy first and foremost. I'll say that. The Nuggets – well, hey, we got nothing to root for. the Nuggets are definitely my number two that I love rooting for. So I did a deep dive onto this, and my personal grade is a B+. I think given all – you know, they went to the Western Conference Finals last year, and that would have been, you know, really awesome to one-up that this year and get to the actual finals. But like what Mike Malone mentioned in that sound bit, the thing he's most proud of is their youth and how they've been able to build up this talent. Man, their window for the next 3, 4, 5 years is going to be very wide open. So I gave them a B+ on this year. I think they came back and those 6 games that they, you know, continued to win, that was sweet, man. That kind of gave me the extra plus on the B there.
I'm going to give them an A. I don't think they get the plus, but this is, I mean, you made it to where you weren't supposed to. It definitely still was not any sort of finals or bust. You kind of had the league get back to a place of no super teams. You know, mm-hmm. You had a basically just duos across the league. There's not really a 3-star team anywhere. I mean, it almost looks like Miami's kind of turning into one with Tyler Hero, Bam, and Jimmy Butler. But, you know. At the beginning of the year, at least, everything was kind of wide open. So I know you were kind of expected to get where you were, but honestly, I'm going to be honest. I didn't expect them to beat the Clippers. I didn't think they were going to beat the Clippers. I didn't think that series was going 7. When they went down 3-1, I was like, this thing's a wrap. There's no way they're coming back twice.
I picked the Clippers in preseason to win it all.
Yeah, I did too as well. I really thought the Clippers were going to honestly steamroll the Lakers. Like, I thought it was not going to be a close series. I really do still think if they beat the Nuggets, it's still not a close series. I really think the Lakers are kind of handed a gift. So I'm going to give them an A. Also, because there were so many injuries this season, and they break through all that, get the 3 seed, and you were sitting pretty playing Utah in the first round, even though you went down 3-1, but you gave your team a chance at least to get a better matchup, right? So mm-hmm. I'm going to give them an A, but not the A+, because you could have maybe made it to the finals at least this year. You had a shot.
Yeah, for sure. Quickly, as we're getting ready to transition out to break, what are some things that they need to add or take away to start the process of getting better next year? Because they are now in that conversation to be a championship team.
I think I'll go first. I think they need to not – I don't think they need to reinvent the wheel. I think they need to compound what they've already built. And so that – I think for me that means a player like Jay Crowder, somebody who has heart, somebody who will play defense, and somebody that will dish the ball to the rest of these stars that they have, you know, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. And then like what we were talking about earlier, you still have Bol Bol coming up in the next 2-3 years. Keep working on him. You have my guy P.J. Dozier. I really think don't rock the boat here. That's my opinion.
I think you need to get rid of Plumlee, get rid of Millsap, save some money. Go get yourself a shooter. Go get yourself somebody who can knock down some important 3 balls. That's what they need.
Yeah, I agree. I think they need a 3 and dog.
And defender. I love the man. But if you can get rid of Gary's contract somehow, that might be worth it.
Hey, I agree with you, man. They got a lot of work to do this offseason. We'll continue to touch on it and talk about it. Coming up on the other side, the Avs are favored. But are they favored to win a award or what? Like, we'll talk about that more on the other side of the break. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torching yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama, What? You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome! Tom's awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
In terms of assessing our team, I don't think we should change anything. If we have the exact same team next year, I feel like we can win it next year. So, love the group of guys we have. You know, like I said, it's unfortunate we keep catching this injury bug. We got to find a way to stay healthy, and you know, some bad luck as well. But you know, it's. I don't know. It's like I said, I wouldn't change anybody on our team. You know, I think we were good enough to win.
CreditAvs.com for that sound. That was Nathan McKinnon, the leader, the captain, the guy who should have won MVP this season for your Colorado Avalanche. Now, he agrees with William Hill Sportsbook, who has them guaranteed by a plus 560 to win the 2020-2021 Stanley Cup. The question is not, do we agree? Because I think we all agree. Or do we?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I love Nathan McKinnon, and it's largely because his part in Trailer Park Boys. But he's also an incredible hockey player, and you love seeing that. That's great. But I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how I feel about taking the championship away from Tampa already. I mean, they just won it, what? I mean, the paint
last night.
Yeah, the paint
not
hasn't
even
24
dried. Hours.
Yeah, the paint hasn't even dried. And on top of it, Steven Stamkos, I mean, he played 3 minutes in all the playoffs. I mean, he's one of the best players in all of hockey. I mean, I don't know, man. You get him back, and I don't want to take it away from Tampa yet. That's where I'm at. Colorado's going to be good yet next year, but they still got to go up against the defending champions.
I mean, you're absolutely right there. You also have to go through a couple of great teams. One you just lost to in the Dallas Stars, and St. Louis probably will be back up there next year, I would assume, as long as they don't lose anybody either. You got some upcoming clubs as well. I'm not the biggest hockey guy, so I can't name all of them, but I don't know. I'm a believer. I want to believe, but I don't know that it's as clear cut as maybe this William Hill, you said?
Uh-huh.
Sportsbook is claiming to be. Plus, what's the? Do you know any other odds besides the Avs there for William?
The next one is the Lightning and the Stars. The Lightning, I think, are at +330, and the Stars are at +320. And if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I might go look at those odds too. I don't know.
It's definitely something. I'll tell you that much. I mean, between the Dallas Stars and Las Vegas Knights, I know the St. Louis Blues are going to re-up this offseason as well. And then coming back on the other side, you still had the Pittsburgh Penguins who are trying to get better. And then you have the Boston Bruins who are not happy with the way that they went out. Not to mention,
2 years in a row.
You know, you have the New York Islanders who are looking to bounce back. So, I mean, there are several teams who are going to be hunting for the Colorado Avalanche. So, if I'm Colorado, if you decide to bring everything back and run it back next year, don't get complacent by one chance because literally anything can happen. And you have people who know that you are the favorites coming into the season, even though you didn't win the Stanley Cup. So, they're going to be after you for sure.
For sure. And You gotta avoid the injury bug again. I mean, that's not something that's just chalk going to happen, you know? Like, they've kind of been dealing with it for the last 2 years, I would say. So, I don't know that you could just say that problem is all of a sudden going to be gone.
Right. I was going to say, at the beginning of this actual hockey season, I think it was way back in 2019,
listen to that way back.
you know, the thing was, like, right away, you know, there were a lot of injuries and whatnot. You know, even people on our local sports radio here were talking about, hey, you know, is this a fire sale of a season? You know, so we're not too far removed from thinking that the Avalanche are done for the year, you know, 20 games into the season. So for me, you know, I think they have a little bit more to prove. And once they prove it for maybe another year or so, okay, yeah, then I'll start locking them into championship guarantees, because Nathan MacKinnon, he's a beast. I mean, he's one of the best in all of the NHL, right? So anytime you have him on your team, you're going to be a contender. But I think they have a little bit more fighting to do, a little bit more jockeying for position.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think I kind of agree with Nathan MacKinnon. If they're healthy, they really got a chance to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I try to touch on the Rockies here, but here's your quick update on the Rockies, because I'm not going to spend any time on it. Started the season 11-3. They went on a 15-31 to end the season. Totaled that up, that's 26-34, which is a combination of trash, right? So you have a guy
trash.
In Nolan Arenado who is still beefing with the GM and Jeff Breidich, and you don't know if that'll ever end. You don't know if Nolan is bought in. So now you don't have a number one star who's not bought in. You don't know who's your starter, who's your ace as a pitcher. Trevor Story's about to leave, and you just don't have a good farming system right now. So taking all of that into consideration, Colorado Rockies, they are a dumpster fire, and maybe one day they will be worth mentioning in a serious conversation of playoffs. Hopefully next year they'll get in, but that's another conversation for another day, because they're in the offseason.
They got some work to do.
Yeah, we got time to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's focus on what's going on today. As you mentioned earlier, the Astros, they beat the Twins in game one of the AL and the AL WC. We got wild card 4-1, and the White Sox also beat the Oakland A's 4-1 in the game one of their wild card series as well. Currently playing is the Tampa Bay Rays and the Toronto Blue Jays. The Rays are up 1-0, and then the Yankees and Indians will be having their first pitch probably within the next 30 minutes. So, you know, we could talk about the Astros. A lot of people, you know, have been killing the Astros all season. I can't wait to get to this next segment, man, because this next segment is a combination of everything we've touched on today, and you guys don't even know to have. So just, I can't wait.
I'm all excited over here,
dude,
man.
I'm excited. I can't wait, man. So, do you guys think the Astros have a real chance of winning? And I know you're a Twins fan, Ryan.
No, so listen, not only am I a Twins fan, KJ, real quick, I've been to over 250 Twins games in my life. I am not just a Twins fan. This is my life. So seeing the Astros beat the Minnesota Twins today, I'm just trying to keep a smile on my face right now.
So, I mean, even though we've counted them out because of the cheating, do they have a real chance? Let me come to my baseball guy, Matt.
No. And specifically because the last year, 3 years, they've cheated. Like, their numbers show it this season. They are the batting average of all five players that are still on the team from that 2017 team is drastically different. Like, hitting from 300 plus, now they're hitting 280 minus, you know?
Now they're hitting their body weight, hitting like 220.
Yeah, seriously. Like, it proves itself. I mean, I don't think they got a shot. I think you got a good outing from your ace today in Zach Greinke, and that's all they can really hope for because they don't have Verlander. I mean, that's kind of the bottom of the end of their run right there. I really do think the Twins win these next two games, and Houston is eliminated.
Let me go out on a limb. I think not only do the Twins go on and win, I think when the Twins win these next two games, I think the Astros break this team up, and I think I think it's time to start to rebuild. You've not only been exposed, but you're stuck in a rut with this team. Yep. You're not going back to the World Series anytime soon.
They're just running in place at this point.
Oh, yeah, no question.
I mean, you know, and it's hard for me on this side of things as my favorite team just lost to them. But I think you guys are right. I don't think the Twins lose this series. I think the Astros have been mentally changed and altered forever to the point where they need change at this point because I don't think they're going to find any more success in Houston. I really think that some of these players might be good in the future and they might get back to their selves. But I think you're right. I think it's time to yard sale.
Yeah, no question about it. The White Sox and the Oakland A's. Now, the Oakland A's, I think, are projected to win this series, but the Chicago White Sox, they haven't been there in 17 years. So this is like a breath of fresh air for them. So they're in here, and I think they're going to be what I call the Washington Nationals of last year's playoff run.
Little Cinderella.
In the sense that no one's expecting them to win. They're glad that they got in. But, hey, I expect them to make some serious noise because the Chicago White Sox, they brought it together in the most important part of the season, and that's the back half of the season. So kudos to the White Sox.
So I feel you, and just a little bit deeper a dive, just since I've kind of had my finger on the pulse of the AL Central. But the White Sox, you're right, they turned it on towards the end of the year, but also in the last week or so, they went on a huge skid. Like the last, they were gonna actually win the division. The Twins ended up winning the division because the Twins won four straight, and the White Sox lost four straight. Nonetheless, Lucas Giolito is very scary. Pitched a great game today. Dallas Keuchel, he has 12 postseason appearances in it, 12 or 14 in his career. He's gonna be a solid matchup tomorrow. I think you're right. I think they might be some sort of Cinderella situation.
Yeah, and you know, don't. Any Jose Abreu, this year's Jose Abreu led team terrifies me, man. That guy just looks like a stud this season. I don't know.
That Cha has a whole baseball in his jaw. Have you seen that?
Yeah. But the guy's top five in every offensive category. That's insane to me.
And he's got a solid glove over at first, too.
Oh, yeah. Defense isn't even a problem.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a consensus that we all think that the Rays are going to beat the Blue Jays this series. Who do you have tonight, though? Yankees, Indians?
Yankees.
You got Yankees.
I got Indians. I will never vote for the Yankees as long as I am upright.
That is perfectly fine. As the lone Yankees fan here, I have no problem filling in.
I'm not a Yankees fan. I just have a Yankees hat.
He's a Rockies.
Oh my God, I just died a little bit.
Rockies.
Coming up on the other side of the break, we have a little game we like to call Russian Roulette. This is the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, a part of the Be On Air Network.
Trying to make plans for this weekend?
I can't wait to see what he brings me.
Don't know what to do to kill time?
Pretty sure you just answered your own question.
Tune in every Wednesday.
Well, we're waiting.
From 3 until 4.
What you talking about?
Sports. Must-see events and many more. Only on GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air
broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
This is Ducello Asserts. Zach Ducello.
I would say there's two answers because there's the Elway draft and there's going to be the way that I would draft it, which I'm going to go with that. You're going to have to get the offensive line beefed up so you can get Drew Lock. And if you think about it, our offensive line is pretty horrendous. There's Reisner.
Matthew Sturts.
Half the fan base wanted Troy Tulowitzki to get traded, and the other half of the fan base doesn't know anything about baseball, so they were like, no, we want Troy.
Follow them on Twitter at WelcomeRug and at OrangeMamba22 to check out the latest podcast.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com. Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
And welcome back to what is unfortunately the last segment of the Press Box today. But guess what? Come back tomorrow and Thursday and you will have more of this amazing show. And, you know, the beauty of this show is we have creativity to pretty much do not so much what we want to do, but to do what makes the show sound the best. So with that being said, yo,
ooh, I love the music.
As I teased out in the last segment, rivalry roulette, my bad. You know, here's how I want to set this up. A lot of people have made this Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson thing to be a rivalry, but it's not a rivalry. As a matter of fact, Patrick Mahomes is 3-0 against Lamar Jackson, and that's without facing him in the playoffs yet. So until Lamar Jackson gets a win, is not considered a real rivalry. But guess what? There's people who disagree with me, and that's what makes this game so amazing. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. You got the match. You got something to say. I can see it in your face. What's up?
It's a rivalry, man. What are you talking about?
It's not a rivalry.
You don't have to beat your opponent to become a rival with him.
It definitely,
you just
you
have to
do.
Hate your opponent. No.
Yes,
no,
you
no,
do.
No, no,
dude.
And here's why. If this was just a scrap team that they're saying, we think we're as good as the Kansas City Chiefs, then, yeah, I really think that they could be like, no, you're not our rival. Like, and this isn't division rivalry stuff. This is you two are the two best teams in the NFL. I don't care if you're both in the same conference. You're the two best teams in the NFL. That makes you two rivals right now.
You know what?
I
actually got some stats to back up what you just said. So Tom Brady actually beat Peyton Manning like the first 6 or 7 times that they played each other. That's including the playoffs. And then Peyton Manning came back on the back half and caught up with him. But had he not caught up with him, I promise you, we would not have been talking about that rivalry.
Absolutely, we would have. Absolutely, we would have, because we would have been talking about the two greatest, well, arguably, two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. and they faced each other. It doesn't matter what the outcomes actually were, because your team is, I mean, for the quarterback argument here, your team outside of that would really matter. I feel like you don't have to beat your opponent to make them your rival.
Okay. All right. I respect that take. Okay. So that ought to make this all the more fun. So this will be a combination of player versus player, player versus team, and team versus team. So starting off with, let's go back to this past weekend in the UFC, Israel Adesanya versus Paul Costa.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, KJ. I think you got the two guys that care the least about you.
Yeah. I was like, I know who Israel Adesanya is, but that's it.
I understand that there are a lot of really jacked dudes that want to beat each other up, and they get paid for it, and that's cool. Next topic.
Okay, all right. You know what? I'll take. That's a real rivalry.
Okay, I was gonna say, what do you? Okay. So who would you take in that? By the way.
Okay, I would take Israel Adesanya.
You like him more?
That's even if I. Let's say that fight never happened this weekend. I'm still taking Israel Adesanya. He's on top of the world right now.
Oh, okay. Is that the other fighter? Okay, I'm sorry.
And honestly, I'll trust you. I trust you 100%.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
I mean, he looks really cool. I like watching him. That's absolutely. Right.
Here we go. So, real rivalry or fake rivalry? Luka Doncic and Marcus Morris.
Oh, that's a good one. Fake. Fake. Because I don't think, like, I think it's kind of one-sided. It's Marcus Morris hates Luka. Like, yeah, Luka hates him, but it's for, like, trying to take him out the league. Not really, like, because he plays good and because he's a good player or anything. Like, right. He's just dirty.
Yeah, Luka had no beef with him until Marcus tried to take out his knees. Like,
and his ankle.
And his ankle.
Yeah, there's like, multiple things. Like,
you know, it's like you know, Brett Favre would never be like, oh, yeah, Brad Johnson was my greatest rival. You know, like, you know, he's just not on the same level.
Yeah, that is very true. With that being said, moving on. Dodgers, Astros.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge. Definitely. Huge now. Yeah, because one got cheated out of a World Series multiple years in a row, even though I hate the Dodgers. I feel bad for him. So, yeah, absolutely, because they want to say, you know, that should have been our ring. You don't sure. even really have a ring. So, yes, 100%. And that will be for a long time, too.
And then last year, it only compounded when the NL MVP, Cody Bellinger, this year came out and was like, yeah, these guys are the worst. I was listening to Tim Kirchen earlier today on the Twins broadcast, and he was saying he's never in baseball before seen where players are attacking other players in the sport like what was happening between the Dodgers and Astros. So 100% real rivalry. That's a good one.
All right. So I already know the answer to the next one, Dan. Joe Kelly versus the Houston Astros, or we can do Joe Kelly versus Alex Correa.
What about Joe Kelly versus MLB? Yeah. Rob Manfred.
Yeah, there we go. Trevor Bauer versus yes. Rob Manfred's a good one, too.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I think it's a rivalry personally because it's now become petty. And yeah. I think when pettiness starts creeping in, there's definitely some rivalry there.
Yeah.
My opinion.
I think that's 100% right.
Yeah, no question. All right. Cam Newton versus the Carolina Panthers.
Oh man. Oh Lord.
Nah. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he understands the injury type of deal. He had his time there. They needed to move on. I don't think there's a rivalry there. Now, if they had had a bigger fallout, or if he had written some coded message on Instagram about him or something in his weird text language, then maybe. But I don't think so. I think, you know, kind of water under the bridge.
Okay. Yeah. I feel that. Here we go. Now, this one hasn't been established because the connection between these two are new because of a trade. DeAndre Hopkins versus Richard Sherman.
Oh, I think it'll be a rivalry for one more season while Richard Sherman still has his knees. And then after that, once he's forced to retire, then I mean, it's over.
I think Richard Sherman has some respect for DeAndre Hopkins. And he thinks he's an actual good wide receiver. So I think he's not going to try and run his mouth
Wait,
like he usually does. But
wait, you're saying Richard Sherman is not going to run as well?
In the first game of the season, he had 15 catches on the 49ers. So,
yeah, I think he's going to keep quiet till next game. I mean, the only way it happens is if, you know, DeAndre Hopkins goes 0 for 1 or 2, 3 catches, something like that. But, yeah, I don't even see that happening.
I mean, the 30-plus-year-old cornerback has a lot stacked against him against this 25-year-old number one wide receiver,
yeah,
you know,
like possibly arguably best in the league.
Yeah,
wide
I mean, Sherman 10 years ago, yeah, I think this would have been a rivalry all day and they would have gone at each other for years. But at this stage, I think it's more just like a little tiff, maybe.
I feel that. All right, so let's bring it back home. Colorado Avalanche versus the Dallas Stars.
Where's Miles Dunklin when you need him?
True. Oh man, that's tough. I
say it's real.
I think you're right, KJ.
I think yes, and it might be because of Jamie Benn specifically and how – I mean, as fans are not pleased with how he was going after their players.
For
as
sure.
Well, as
I don't think they're happy with Ben Bishop either.
No, no. As well as how both of them looked in the final against Tampa Bay. There were three or four, you know, borderline suspension fine type of plays in that series. I don't know. That's a really tough question. I think I'm going to say no right now just because they have not played enough. I think they had that, like, yeah, you're in the same division or whatever, but or a conference, but you only played in the playoffs. I think it was 3-0 Avs in the regular season.
Yeah.
It wasn't really too hot of a series, but when they upset you, now I think once this regular season starts, it's possible, but I don't think yet.
Okay. All right. You know what? That's a good one. I didn't think of it that way. Here we go. Nathan MacKinnon versus the National NHL Media.
Yes. That is his only rival in his entire career, is how the entire national media, the NHL national media, views him. It's like, yeah, I could totally understand if, you know, the media of you know, well, I'm trying to think of a place that doesn't watch hockey. I was about to say Tampa Bay, but they just won the cup.
South Carolina.
Yeah, there you go. No, you know, media there. If they have no clue and they're talking about like him in a not positive way, then yeah, I can understand it. But like Sports Center with the RE or yeah, RE after like Canada's yep. Sports Center or whatever. How is he not the headline every right. single night? The dude flies like. It should be him and Connor McDavid. They should just run highlights of both of them all the time.
Not to mention he's a Canadian. He's Canadian yeah. legacy for being on Trailer Park Boys that I mentioned earlier. I mean, come on. The show ran for 12 years. It's a huge deal in Canada. You would think Nathan MacKinnon is just a huge deal there. I think you're right. I think it is a rivalry.
So here's a good one. Sergio Romo versus Francisco Lindor.
I could let you take this one.
I mean – from my perspective, watching Sergio Romo now for a few years, I think he just kind of – he's like a little bird that likes to tweet.
No,
you know,
I absolutely agree with you like 1,000%. Yeah. He pisses me off with this.
So. Yeah. So he's just – he's always trying to nag at somebody. I don't – if Lindor takes it seriously, I think that's beneath him because Lindor, he's definitely kind of like a poster child for the game of baseball with that smile he's got. He's called his nickname is Mr. Smiley. Yeah. I don't think he's gonna let something like this little tiff kind of define him. You know what I'm talking about? He's too big for that.
I think you're right, and he's kind of a laid back, kind of doesn't get in the spotlight type of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's real electric when he's on the field, but off the field, it's not real.
You don't hear
a lot
about
of talk,
him too much,
you know. Yeah. So yeah, I think. It's only a no because he's not letting it become a rivalry.
Perfect way to say it.
Yeah, that is absolutely perfect. All right, so we'll end off on this. And I know I may get a stern talking to from our program director right after I ask this question, but is this a real rivalry? Altitude 92.5 versus 104.3
to fans. I mean, do you want to touch that one with the 10-foot pole, man?
I don't know if I do. Are we allowed to talk about these things right now?
Is this thing on?
No, man, I just had to throw that little funny in there. We're good, man. We're
92.5 all the way, baby.
Same here, man. Same here.
All right, real quick, I only want to ask this question because we've been talking about rivals this whole time. I just want to think or want to know who, out of all of the sports, every single sport, what's the biggest rivalry? Two teams.
Duke, North Carolina. My opinion.
Oh, man. Yankees, Red Sox.
See, that's my pick, too. I was thinking somebody might go with, like, the Steelers, Cowboys or something like that, or...
They don't play enough. That's not the only problem.
Yeah.
That's the only problem.
That was good back in the 70s when those were the two teams playing on TV.
Yeah.
But now...
Yeah.
I think Yankees, Red Sox probably number one. I honestly think Duke, UNC has probably got to be top three.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like we're absolutely butchering this and missing one in there, and I can't even think of it, but yeah.
Hey, man, it's all good because guess what? This is the end of the road, and we want to thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Press Box. Matt Ryan, thank you so much. I am KJ, your host. Come back tomorrow and check out The Press Box.
Hey.
and we'll bring it back. So there you go. I'll see you.
Thanks, KJ.
I won't see you guys tomorrow, but we will be back from 4 to 5. So this is it.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?